What did we learn last? Okay, so for those who aren't here, or who haven't yet been here, we're learning the Yosher Divrei Emes from one of the early Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. Not really a Talmud of Baal Shem Tov. We learned that he had three main Rebbeim. Three main Rebbeim were the Maggid of Mezrich, who had a little bit of a Sheikhus too, to Rav Menachem Mendel of Premishlan, and to the Maggid of Zlotchev, Rav Yechiel Michal of Zlotchev. Those were his three Rebbeim. His main Rebbe was Rav Yechiel Michal of Zlotchev. The Maggid of Zlotchev was about 20 years older than him. And the Yosher Divrei Emes lived in the later part of the 18th century. So it was a pretty early work of Chassidus. And we've seen in the first two Shiurim that, and anyone who needs to catch up, they're online, the Shiurim recordings are online, we've seen that it's a very fiery Sefer. And the Rebbe is trying to, I said to Rav Velbel before, I said, the goal is not to walk out of here feeling like a loser and to feel really depressed and down. That's not the goal. The goal is that we should become more self-aware, we should be more honest, and we should understand what's being demanded of us in Avodas Hashem, that we shouldn't deceive ourselves, that we shouldn't pretend that we're Bali Madrega if we're not yet Bali Madrega, that we should defeat the terrible Midah of Gaiva, which unfortunately stops a person from being attached to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so let's just jump right in. We're up to Osvav. It's on page Ayin. Osvav, Aval Misha Rotza. Yeah? Good. Aval Misha Rotza Lizdabik LaHashem Yizbarach Be'emes. Bilti LaHashem Levado. If a person wants to be Davuk in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's really the tachlis of everything. Certainly, Al Pi Pnimius HaTorah, according to the Zohar Kadosh, the Zohar refers to the Tarag Mitzvot of the Torah as Tarag Eaten. 613 etzos, 613 pieces of advice, all to achieve the singular goal of what? Of clinging to Hashem. To be davak to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, vot tidvak, to cling to Hashem. So a person who wants to cling to a Kadosh Baruch Hu be'emes, only to Hashem, who maybe he understands full well, she efshar lizdabig bo, im lo she yidcha mimenu gavas libo. The only way to attach yourself to a Kadosh Baruch Hu is to what is to surrender yourself to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is to mevatel oneself to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is to abandon the avodah zarah of self, and to return to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The more I want to become my own independent anochi, the farther away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu I become. I can't cling to Hashem if I try to be my own thing. That's how many tzaddikim explain that Moshe Rabbeinu says that anochi omed, and Moshe says to Klai, so anochi omed, I'm standing here between you and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So many of the tzaddikim of Chassidus explain that the Anochi is Omer, Bein Hashem uvein Eichem. That when a person has a sense of Anochius, when a person has a sense of Anochius, a person thinks that I, right? A person thinks I, so that Anochi is Omer, it creates a division between what? Between Hashem and between you. It's not just Moshe saying, I'm the middleman standing here between Hashem and you. Moshe is teaching us that the I, that sense of I, that sense of Anochi, the only one, that's why the first of the Asar Sadibras begins, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's way of saying, the word Anochi is reserved for me. A person can't say Anochi. And that's why the Tzaddikim point out that even people who said some of the most humbling statements erred because they used the word Anochi. So, for example, Avraham Avinu says, Anochi afar ve'efer. Ah, but he still said Anochi. He still said I. David Melech says, Anochi solas velo ish. Right? He still said Anochi. When Moshe and Aaron say, V'nachnu ma, what are we? That's like the ultimate expression of a bittel. Because there's no mention of Anochi. If there's still an I, that I am this, I am that, that's still not it. I saw once in a sefer called Otzer Sipurei Chabad. A multi-volume set. So I think it was B'Shem the Rebbe Rashab, I'm not sure. Maybe the Rebbe Maharash of Lubavitch, the fourth Rebbe, that he said, or maybe the Rebbe Rashab, said that a person who says, I hold, right, he's stating your opinion, I hold such and such. So a person who says, I hold is a timtum ha-malach, and a person who says, I feel is a timtum ha-lev. That's how it says. But whenever it's I, that's already, that creates, again, it's a normal way to talk. It's a normal human way to express oneself. But there's an element of gaiva there that causes a lack of ability to cling to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And again, the more a person negates that sense of I, that independent self, the more a person is able to what? The more a person is able to attach himself be'emes to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay? So again, she'i efshar lizdabik bo, it's impossible to cling to Hashem im lo she'yidcha imenu gavos libo. If I don't drive out the haughtiness of my heart. V'yakir chesrono, and I recognize my shortcomings. U'pichi suso tamid kolkach, and I recognize how lowly I sometimes am, or all the time, to constantly be aware of my shortcomings. Shelo yidme be'enav, sheyesh lo ezamayla. I shouldn't deceive myself into thinking I'm a Baal Madrega, but I'm really a very pashut person. It's so easy to deceive ourselves by sizing ourselves up against someone who knows a little less than me, or does a little less than me. And then, as we mentioned in the first chabura, when you come into the presence of an adam gadol, the emes, you feel, you can't trick yourself. Standing in the presence of a tzaddik, you can't trick yourself. So when you're talking to your younger brother, you're in 12th grade, you're talking to a 9th grader, you think you're a Baal Madrega because you got a little bit into learning in 12th grade, but you meet a tzaddik, you're like, I don't know anything about anything. And then as you get older and older, and you meet greater tzaddikim, and you come to the presence of true tzaddikim, you can't deceive yourself. Ki ha'emes hu kach lamaskil. Because the truth is evident for anyone who's thinking, who's honest. Ki bilti ze nemar, look at this, the pasuk says, Toav as Hashem, there's a nice drasha he has here, kol gvalev. What's the pshat in the pasuk in Mishlei? Toav as Hashem, it's an abomination. It's abominable in the eyes of Hashem. Kol gvalev. So the pasuk pshat is anyone who is haughty in their heart. But he learns the word kol not on anyone, but on any bit. Right? There's a great vart from the, I think the Yetav Lev. This was the grandfather of the Sam Rebbe, the grandfather of the Sam Rebbe. The Yetav Lev says that we say Kol Anishama Talka Luka, Kol Anishama Talka Luka. So he says the way to translate Kol. Why do we say the pasuk twice? That's the Lachan. Beis Yosef brings it in Beis Yosef. I don't think it's brought in the Shulchan. And Beis Yosef says we repeat the pasuk. Why do we repeat the pasuk? So the Pashup Shah, as we repeat the Pasuk, Beis Yosef says, because it's the end of the words of David Melech. It's the last parak of Tehillim. So when we get to that checkpoint in Psukei Dezimra, we sign off by repeating the Pasuk twice. But the Yetav Lev said that, what's the idea? Kol can be translated one of two ways. Kol could mean everything, kol. But kol could also mean like a kol shehu. The way I like to say it in English, the way, I said I'm out. Okay, take over, go. The way one could say it in English, is that what? Is there's everything, and then there's everything. So I say, Kol HaNeshama, one says, Kol HaNeshama, Talka Luka, thank you Hashem for everything. And then I say it again, thank you Hashem for everything. Thanking Hashem, so to speak, for the big things in my life and the details of my life. So kol, also in this context, kol gavalev could be a person who's entirely gaivadik, or it could be kol, any bit of gaiva. It's repulsive to Hashem, kol gavalev, any amount of gaiva salev. But zalomer afilu belev, even if you don't act on it, even if you just feel it a little bit internally, you don't say anything that expresses gaiva, you don't act in a way that's gaivadik, afilu bechol dehu, even the tiniest bit. Kamo ein l'shifchascha kol babayis, right? There's no amount, there's nothing in the house. Your shifcha has nothing at all. Kol. Kol can mean any amount. As the Gemara says in Sota, when it describes the severity of gaiva, lo minav lo miktsasa. I don't want from it, and I don't want any bit of it. I don't want any trace of it. Mi zuter mai dechsiv be'tov as Hashem. Don't play around with something that the pasuk says, tov as Hashem. It's abominable. If Hashem says something's repulsive, you want to stay very, very far away from it. That's the Rambam. The Rambam says there are two midos zeraos that a person has to distance himself from entirely. What are they? Gaiva and kas. We've explained that they're related to each other. A person who's gaivadik gets angry very easily because he constantly feels that, who are you to talk to me that way? You respond in an angry way because you feel entitled to things. That stems from gaiva. So the Gemara says, lo minava lo miktsasa. Mi zutar, is it a small thing that the pasuk says it's tov as Hashem? If it's tov as Hashem, you don't want anything to do with it. Not even a kol dehu, not even the smallest amount. V'kol ma sheyavin shifluso, v'yasmid ba b'machshavu b'maisa. And the more that a person contemplates his lowliness. When I think about my own averus, and I'm self-aware of my bad choices, my improper thoughts. Yoser yargish devekos nafsho b'Hashem yisbach. I humble myself. I become submissive. I negate myself to the point that what? That I cling to Hashem. I don't for a second deceive myself into thinking that I'm an independent being. I can do anything on my own. I'm nothing without Einon Movado. So being shafil be'enav actually becomes what? Very pleasurable. It's not depressing. Oh, I don't feel that I have a place when I surrender to Hashem. What do you mean? I have a much bigger place when I surrender to Hashem. When I try to be my own thing, that's depressing. Better Better to be what, the tail of a lion than to be the head of the foxes. A fox is a sly creature. It deceives itself and it deceives others. So better to be the tail end of a lion, to actually be part of the, so to speak, the king of the jungle, the royal class, be makushar to the melech, than to deceive yourself to being the head of the tricksters. Biroso ki yoser masha makdin es atzmo mashpil es atzmo belibo. Yoser yachol hidabik l'Hashem yizbach. It becomes evident that the more you humble yourself, the more you really feel connected to Hashem. Umalo yoser me'olam hazeh kiyam zeh. What more is there to the world other than being connected to Hashem? Is there anything else we want? Hi, Chatzko. Is there anything else we want? Chatzko. What else do we want? What's the point of our life if not to be davak to Hashem? Halo kulam ka'ayin neged zeh dveikus ki akol kolev ha'ovid v'hu yamud yesod la'netzach. Because when you cling to Hashem, that's how you cling to eternity. You try to make a name for yourself. It's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Who said it? A very humble person. Hillel said. What does Hillel say in Pirkei Avos? Hillel always surrendered his shita to Beis Shammai. That's why Hillel lasts. We possibly like Hillel. You want to have kiyum in this world? So negate yourself. It's counterintuitive. I need to exert myself. I need to make myself big. I need to make myself like we were learning in Tzichos around the other day. Before some, the desire to be famous, to be popular, to be recognized by others. Have a lavalim. When a person surrenders to Kutcha Brichu, so now you attach yourself to Nitzchias, and now you're mamish, you live forever. Right? But a person who tries to be his own thing, hakol kolav ha'aved, it's all lost. What does Hillel say in Pirkei Avos? Hillel says, nigod shema avad shema. If you try to pursue your name, you try to enhance your name, avad shema, you lose your name, you lose your reputation. Anyone who tries to enhance his reputation, tries to increase his reputation, again, in a way that's self-serving, eventually loses the reputation. They put themselves out there too much, eventually it'll all crumble. The person who surrenders to Hashem, hu yamod yesod l'netzach. He's laying a foundation, the yesod of the building, the strongest part of the building. It's not the most obvious part of the building. It's part that's hidden, it's concealed. It carries upon itself the weight of all of the revealed parts of the building. But when the whole building collapses, the foundation remains. And the whole building, God forbid, the whole building were to collapse, the foundation stays in its place, it's at the bottom. So by taking its place at the bottom, it gives itself a kiyum. It lasts forever. Yesod is the midah that's right before Malchus. There's Eskasher. So Yesod is Mashpia. Kabbalistically, Yesod is Mashpia into Malchus. You want to be Mekusher into the Melech? Yesod. You have to make yourself a Yesod. You have to be the bottom of the building. You have to be the foundation. You have to lower yourself. That's how a person has success in Torah. That's how a person comes to Dveikus and Hashem. Uve'emes lo kol adam zocha, not everyone zocha to this. However, rak lo alecha hamlacha ligmor, no one has to try to finish it. But we have to strive to be like this. We have to try to accomplish this to whatever degree is possible, in whatever way is possible, at whatever place and time is possible. We call in Yanei Olam Haza. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. The way the Kedushas Levi explains it, the way the Rav Soloveitchik explains it, and everyone in between. Moshe kibel Torah, mi Sinai. Moshe received the Torah, you know why? Mi Sinai, from the fact that what? Mi Sinai. From not on Har Sinai, mi Sinai, from the fact that he was humble like Sinai. He made himself like Sinai. I think the Shlach Kadosh says, what's the gematria of Anava? I think it's from the Shlach Kadosh. Ayin Nun Vavhe, what's the gematria of Anava? One thirty-one. Was it watch of Sinai? Hundred thirty. Okay. So Sinai with the kol is going to another. I don't think that's what the Shlach says. Sinai, Anava with the letters, 135. What's 135? That's how it goes. I don't know. Sinai is basically Gematria. Anava, right? Sinai with the kol is Gematria. Anava. That's not what he says. He says a different analyst. I don't remember. But Moshe kivel Torah mi Sinai. Moshe got the Torah because he's like our Sinai. He's humble like our Sinai. That's what we know. What do we know about Moshe in the Torah? It says Moshe's smart. What does it say about Moshe Rabbeinu? He's the top shir. He's the top bacher in yeshiva. What do they say about the Torah about Moshe Rabbeinu? He's anu mikol adam. Aish Moshe is anu mikol adam. That's the outstanding characteristic of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what the Gemara says, that a person wants to have success in Torah. Torah is compared to water. The Gemara in our Masechta, Bava Kama Daf Yud Zayin Amar Aleph, Ein Mayim El Torah. But in Masechta's Tanis, on Daf Zayin, is that the Torah is compared to water, because just like water will always trickle down to the lowest point, the more you humble yourself, the more of a kli you make yourself to receive Torah. So Moshe's humility is Dafka, which is the one, Makabal the Torah. This far I even say, Moshe Rabbeinu in his humility thought the reason that God, right, is bidafka because I'm the lowest Jew. Hashem wanted to show, look how far his Torah can reach, even down to the lowest Jew. That's how Moshe saw everyone is better than him. Moshe Mamish went through life thinking that everyone was better than him. It's an amazing thing. Okay, let's go on. O Zayin. Val yedei Torah yuchal levo l'shiflus v'anava. Through Torah, a person comes to humility. Now, it goes both ways. He's about to explain. You have to be humble to come to Torah. And if you're makabel Torah, if you learn Torah for the right reason, it makes you more humble. You have to have a certain humility to be open to Torah. And I think a lot of people have that. I think there's a lot of people who understand I have to, you know, be open to receiving Torah. But the second stage, I think, is harder for a lot of people. That once I learn Torah, that the Torah should humble me as opposed to making me feel like I'm a big shot. I think a lot of people struggle with that. So there's a shiflus, there's an anava that comes before Torah, and there's another that comes about through the learning of Torah. Let's look inside. Yideya Torah, yuchal avo l'shiflus v'anava. Through learning Torah, it's an encounter with Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's an encounter with God, which should be a very humbling experience as I try to attach my puny little mind to the mind of God. Kama sha'amru chazal u'malbashto anava. One of the signs of a person who learns Torah, the Shema, is what? That he's girded, he's wrapped, his levush, his garment is anava. He wraps himself in anava. And even though Chazal tell us elsewhere in Pirkei Avos that anava is the way to come to Torah, so which is it? Is anava a prerequisite for Torah? Or is anava what happens to me after I learn Torah? Does Torah humble me, or do I have to be humble to be worthy of approaching Torah? And the answer is both. Nimtza anava kodemes, right? It sounds from this Mishnah that anava comes first. Be'emes yesh anava barosh ve'yesh anava besof. There's an anava that comes before, and there's an anava that comes afterwards. There's humility that comes before, and there's humility that comes afterwards. Ki anava harishona, what's the humility it takes to come to Torah? Rotzalomar harchakos hagavos va'anfeyem hamisyaldim kmo kas v'kadoma. There's a certain refinement of character that's expected in order for a person to train himself, to make himself fit to receive the Torah. Va'anava b'sof, ratzalomar, Tvias hashiflus belev, machmas diras Hashem yizbarach ba'amitus. If I study Torah, if it's just an intellectual pursuit, it's going to make me into a bal gaiva. If I'm studying Torah just to be smart, all the more so if I'm just doing it to be smarter than the next guy, it's going to make me into a bal gaiva. But if I realize that I, with all my shortcomings, I'm giving myself the permission, and Hashem invites me to sit and learn his Torah, I should walk away from that experience like a person who, again, and you're in the presence of a tzaddik, you walk away, you're quiet, you feel humbled. You're cracking, you know, a few less jokes on your way out. You feel like, whoa, I've been, you know, it changes a person. So if you had an encounter with the melech, you don't just walk out of the room the same person. You had a meeting with the king. You walk out of that room, you feel different. I had an encounter with the king. I don't just go back to my regular ways. So the same thing should be true when I have an encounter with Torah. I walk away from Torah humbled by that experience of having learned Torah. There's a certain Yiras Hashem, when I come into contact with truth, the truth of the Torah, that should be transformative. Uve emes yesh yira barosh v'yira basof gamkein. What does he mean by that? There's an awe that comes. There's a yira that precedes Torah and a yira that comes after Torah. What does he mean? It's like the Rambam described in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah in the second parak, that there's different types of yira. Right? How do we define the different types of yira? There's yira followed by ava followed by yira. What's the lower level yira? What do we call that? Yira
tata.
Yira what? That's true. We call it yira ilah and yira tata, but how else do we refer to it? What's the lower type of yira that a person has from the melech? Think of melech of Basar Vadam. Yira sa'onesh. I'm scared of punishment. I'm scared the king has power. I feel threatened by the king. I'm scared of the king. What's the higher level yira? Right? Yira sa'romimus. That's why I'm called yira sa'romimus, which is not a fear, right, but a deep awe and respect for the king. So there's a lower level yira. There's a trepidation that I should have as I'm approaching the king. And then once I've had that Torah encounter, I should be so awed by the awesomeness of Torah, I should walk away feeling humbled by that experience. There's a yira that comes beforehand and a yira that comes after. Right? There's almost a fear, an unworthiness that precedes, that humility that precedes the learning of Torah. And then this awe that I feel after having encountered Torah. I don't need to go on and on with all this. Because a person, again, who's honest and is paying attention will understand very well. Aval ikur limud haTorah lishma. Now, this is very important. How do we define, what is Torah lishma? Everyone wants to know, what is Torah lishma? So many different opinions. All the Sfarim that talk about, you know, machshava and Torah want to understand. So what is this mysterious thing called Torah lishma? Mitoch shalo lishma, bal lishma, the Gemara says in several places. What is Torah lishma? What does it mean to learn Torah lishma? I started teaching once a week at this new girls' high school that opened up. So I told them the first day, like the first question they wanted to know, not like who I am, what's my name, what is class, the first thing the girls wanted to know, do we need to take notes? Is there going to be a test? So I said, we only meet once a week. The period meets once a week. It's Mondays for 45 minutes. I said, I'd like this class to be Torah Lishma. They were very excited about that. Ninth grade girls. Torah Lishma, Gavaldik. Torah Lishma. Right? So is that what Torah Lishma means? Is not having tests? What's Torah Lishma? How do you define Torah Lishma? Many different forms give a definition. So says the Yosher Divrei Rambam, I'll tell you, I'll pi chasidus what Torah Lishma is. Ikur limud haTorah lishma tzarech lios lizdabik v'Hashem yizbarach. Why am I learning Torah? Why do I care about Shur Shanaga Chasapara? Why do I care about Arba Os Nezikim? Why do I care about these things? What's the point? What am I trying to get to with all of that? And the answer is, I'm trying to develop my relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm trying to cling to Hashem. Because in a relationship, if I want to be connected to the other person, I have to know what they're into. I have to know what they care about. So for whatever reason, God cares about these things. This is Hashem's way of thinking. It's called the Torah. So when I study Torah with the purpose of enhancing my relationship with Him, to get to know Him, to be connected to Him, to be davuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Torah Lishma. And when I start to see how He thinks, I see the brilliance of Hashem, and I feel, wow, I feel submissive, I feel humbled by it. To feel again, achnia means to be humbled. To lower myself before Hashem. What's supposed to happen is the more Torah you learn, the more humble you become. And you see it by true tzaddikim and real Talmidei Chacham who learn Torah for the right reason. You have a 1 minute conversation with Rav Shechter. He's oozing with Torah and he's oozing with humility. There's just a sincerity and an honesty and something so real about a person who learns Torah for the right reasons. It transforms him to be a person who's a mamish, a giant, but it's somehow all couched within an authentic humility. Right? So the same thing is true when I learn Torah in the right way. V'yiskari ve'lov, and I draw close to Hashem, yeah, yoser shval ruach, and I become more humble. He says, what does it mean shval ruach? We use that term sometimes in Chazal. Shval ruach. A meek spirit, a humble spirit. What does it mean? What's a ruach? Ruach means a person's spirit. My ratzon. What's my goal? Why do I learn Torah? What am I trying to accomplish? Every time I sit down and open up a Jewish book, what's my goal? Why do I do it? What's the ruach? What's the spirit of my learning? Is it shfal ruach? Ratzalomar. Ruach lashon ratzon. Is my ratzon shritzonu yashafel? Is it a way of surrendering to God, or it's a way of trying to be like God's equal? Or to be better than other people. What's the tachlis? What's the goal? With this, we can understand a very interesting Maimer Chazal. The Gemara says in Chulin, Kuf Lamed Gimel, Kol Halomed. I think the actual lesson of the Gemara is Kol Hashona, but it's the same idea. Anyone who teaches Torah LeTalmud She'eino Hagun. If you teach Torah to a person who's not receiving it in the right way, let's never forget for a second that the Gemara in Yoma says that Torah can be poison. The assumption that Torah is always good is simply not true. If Torah is not absorbed in the proper way, it's literally poison. The Gemara calls it Sam Misa. Sam HaMisa. It's the poison of death. If you study it properly, it could be what? It could be a Sam Chaim. It could be a magical potion, an elixir of life. It could be the greatest medicine in the world. But don't confuse yourself for a second. Torah could be the biggest weapon of all. If you don't absorb it properly, it could be so destructive. Says the Gemara in Chulin, a person who teaches Torah to a student who's not going to be makabel in the right way, not only will it not make him better, it will make him worse. And you know what it's like? The Gemara gives a very strange parable. It's Kizorek Evan Lemarkulis. Markulis was an Avodah Zarah where he used to throw a stone at it. So you might say, I'm throwing a stone at this idol. Why?
To break it.
Or how about Baal Peor? Right? The idolatry of Peor, where a person defecates, a person relieves himself in front of this idol. So you might say, aha, I'm doing it to be mezalzel of the idol, but that's how you serve it. What is this mashal? Says the Osher Devamis. What is this mashal? Let's hear an amazing chiddush from the Osher Devamis. Why is Dava, a person who teaches Torah to a student who's not going to be makabel in the right way, is like a person who throws a stone at the Avodah Zarah, which is actually worshipped by throwing stones at it. Right? So why that mashal? Shenamar, the Gemara quotes a pasuk. Shenamar kitzur evin b'margema, like loading a rock into a slingshot. Keinosein lichsil kavod. It's like giving honor to a fool. It's a bad idea. It's dangerous. Like the rock in the slingshot as it's about to snap. When you give kavod to a person who's a foolish person, it's not going to help them. They might be looking for kavod, but you do them a favor and don't give them kavod because it's a weapon in their hands. When you give Torah over to a Talmud who's not fit for it, it's mamish like a weapon in their hands. It's mamish like you're worshipping Avodah Zarah, even though you don't intend to. You're trying, right? I mean, that's the push-up shot. You're trying to teach Torah, but if you're not teaching it in a way that's, or to the person who's going to receive it in the right way, you're not helping him. You're making him into a Baal Gaiva and you're pushing him farther away from Hashem. That's the push-up shot. But why dafka this mashal of throwing a stone to Markulis? It's hard to understand this mashal. What is this comparison? There's so many other ways you could have said that it's a futile effort. That's what you're trying to say. It's going to backfire. Why use this mashal of throwing a stone at Markulis? It seems to me that the emes of this idea is the following. Shekavanas hagemara hu kamo shekasavti leil. It's like I've explained above. Ki adua hapo'or atzmo. Hapo'er atzmo lipo'or, vizorek evin lemarkulis chayv. If you relieve yourself in front of the idol po'or, even though your intention is what? To disgrace it. Or if you throw a rock at Markulis, even though your intention is not to worship it, your intention is to wind up and to break the idol's head off with a wild, throw of a rock. You're chayev. Afal pin shechivin levzoso, even though your intention was to disgrace it, kevan she'avodasa bekach, since that is the way that it's normally served, typically served, afal pishu mechavin levzoso, even though your intention is what? Is to disgrace the idol, to put the idol in its place, to make a mockery of it. He mekabelas mizek kavod miskadelas. But the bottom line is, right? The idol worshippers say, wow, you saw the way he threw that rock, wow, what a kavod. Right? There's actually a very strange gemara about that. A person who stopped off to be mezalzel Baal Peor, and the priest of Peor said, wow, you should have seen what he did to Peor. You should have seen the way he worshipped Peor. Kevin shezavodasa, that's the way you serve it. It's a very strange idol worship, but that's how you do it. So too, when I teach Torah, what is Torah supposed to do? Let's remind ourselves. What is Torah Lishma? Torah is supposed to humble a person. But if I don't give it over to a person who's ready to be humbled by it, what does it do to them? It makes them a Baal Gaiva. So not only does it fail in terms of its intention, which is to humble them, right? It actually has the opposite effect. So that's exactly this mashal. You're trying to mezalzel the Avodah Zarah. You're trying to disgrace the Avodah Zarah by throwing a rock at it, by defecating in front of it. But really, it has mamash the opposite effect. You're serving it. So if you try to teach Torah, which is supposed to humble us and bring us close to Hashem, and cause us to surrender to Kodesh Baruch Hu, if you give that over to a Talmud who's not ready to receive it, not only will it not humble the Talmud, it will make him a bigger Baal Gaiv and push him farther away from Kodesh Baruch Hu. But mamash the opposite effect. Kedoma ze mamishim, adam lo me Torah le Talmud she'eno hagun. Hakavana lahadbiko ba'Hashem, ulahasar milibo gavos libo. If you're doing it to try to humble him, to knock some of the guy out of him, look how big the Torah is, look how small you are. So he learns a Mishnah, he says, oh look, I know a Mishnah, he thinks it's a big shot now. Ulisharish acharam and aliv, you're trying to uproot the guy in his heart. To the shoresh. Kamosha amar rabbeinu, malbashto anava, right? What's supposed to happen when you learn Torah lishma is that it makes you more humble. But if the person doesn't receive it in the right way, it has the opposite effect. You're trying to teach the Talmud. You think you know something? Try learning Bava Kama. See how easy that is. Right. So you can pretend, well, whatever, Bava Kama, I don't really care about Bava Kama. Try caring about Bava Kama. Try mastering Bava Kama. It's the most humbling experience in the world. To get through one page of Bava Kama is a humbling experience. So the Rebbe's trying to expose you to the depth of the Torah so that you should be humbled. Wow, look how Hashem thinks. It's so deep. It's endlessly deep. Just to get through the Shachle V'Tari of the Gemara, and then Rashi, and then Tosos, and then Rabbi Kiva Eger, and a Pnei Yoshua, and a this and a that. It's endless. It's a humbling experience. V'im hu Talmud she'eno hagun, but if the Talmud is not a proper Talmud, he takes that Torah, and instead of making it into what? A levush of anava, he makes it into a levush of gaiva. The only one, I want to be very clear about this, the only one who's allowed to wear a garment of gaiva is Hashem. It's a mefurish pasuk. Hashem malach geus lavesh. Only God wears the garment of pride. Everyone else, the garments that we make, and by the way, Torah and mitzvot are called begadim. It's called the chalukah derabanan, in Kabbalistic language. The garments you're going to wear, your neshama is going to wear when it leaves this world, made out of your Torah and mitzvot. It's a beged of what? It's a beged of humility. It's a beged of return to Hashem and submissiveness. When a person's Talmud is not proper and he tries to give over Torah, Azai Chas V'Shalom, Yosem Mekabel Gavas Aleim and Alimud, he becomes haughtier from the learning. When they Shirot Silios Lamdin, he wants to be a big Shal Lamdin. Ve'ein Kavanas Okla L'Shem Shemayim. You know what Torah Lishma is? You know what Torah Lishma is not? Torah Lishma is where I learn Torah what? Lishma, to get close to Hashem. You know what the biggest crime is? With what? Torah Lishma, when I learn Torah to increase my own name. That's what Hillel said. Nigad Shema, if you try to increase your name, Avad Shema, you lose your name. That's what the Ramban says in his Hakdama to the Chumash. What does Nachmanides say in his Hakdama to the Chumash? The Torah from beginning to end is what? Is Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the name of God. Hashem's the only one who has a name. Don't try to make a name for yourself. The Torah is the name of Hashem from beginning to end. To say, this is the only authentic name. I don't need my own name. I want to just be, right? Avos and Toldos, you know, Bava Kama. Hashem is the Av. I just want to be a Tolda. If I want to have any credit in this world, I said, I can call myself a child of Hashem. I don't need to be my own kingdom. I don't need to build my own kingdom. Shem Muflug B'Torah. Sometimes a person says, I want to be a big Talmud Chacham, a Muflug B'Torah, Charif, Ubaki. I want to have mastery of Besechtos. So his Rebbe, who's a true tzaddik, wants to give him Torah that he should know his place in the world, but he takes it, and it's mamash the opposite. It's kizorik evan lemarkulish, and it's the opposite effect. Instead of Torah being what? Kihem chayinu v'rachiminu, becomes poison. It becomes a poisonous thing. The Vilna Gaon said, going back to the mashal of ein mayim ala Torah, Torah is compared to mayim. What happens when you pour water on something in your field? Well, it depends what's in your field. Whatever's there is going to be. So if the field is full of trees and beautiful fruits and beautiful produce, Gevaldik. But what if the field is filled with weeds and you pour water on it? You're going to grow more weeds. You're going to make the field worse and worse in terms of its ability to produce useful things. So the Vilna Gaon said, when you pour Torah on yourself and you pour the water of Torah upon yourself, it depends what you are. What's your starting point? If you are a person who's a haughty person, who's filled with taivas, who's filled with anger, who's filled with jealousy, so all the Torah is going to do is just cause those things to flourish. You'll become angry, and you'll become more taivadik, and you'll become more jealous, and you'll become more gaivadik. So we have to be careful what we're pouring the Torah on top of. That's Torah lishma. What is the goal of my Torah learning? Does it help me to get close to Hashem? Now, sometimes it's hard for us to recognize it. Sometimes you're learning Bava Kama, and you don't feel, you don't understand. How does this make me davak to Hashem? But you have to say to yourself, what do you mean? The fact that I'm bothering myself to care about things that seem completely irrelevant to me, a total dose of keren. An ox that bites or kicks or... Who cares? Who cares? If I get into a car accident, I'll go to a Beis Din and I'll say, do I owe him money or does he owe me money? The Beis Din will work it out. I have a business and I get into a fight with my business partner, so we'll go to the Beis Din and the Beis Din will work it out. I need to sit here handling on Ovus and Toldos and Karen and Shane and Regal and Lo Roi Zeh, Kroi Zeh. This one's not like that one. It's not a Shavu Shaban. It's that they all have this in common. Who cares? And the answer is, that's Guy Vedic to say who cares. This is what your beloved cares about. I can't say to my wife when she wants to talk about something that I don't really care all that much about. Who cares? She says, I care. So you have to care. Do you love me or not? If you love me, then you care also. If you're in this relationship just to take from me, so then you say, who cares? I don't care. What do I get out of this? But if you want to get to know the other person, in this case, to know the mind of Hashem, then you need to care about Bava Kama. As annoying as it sometimes seems. Mechilas Kvod Bava Kama. I'm obviously speaking in a way that's childish and silly to make a point. Bava Kama is beautiful. But in those days where you feel like, Bava Kama, come on, like, who cares? How is this no gay lemaisa? And the answer is, it's no gay because Hashem cares. And if you're learning Torah lishma, if it's lishma, if it's for you, then who cares? But if it's lishma, if it's to get to know Hashem, to be davak to Hashem, then of course we care. And how can we not care? Okay? Let's do a drop more. If we can do Os Ches, or at least it's a long, we'll do part of Os Ches. I'm not going to do obviously all of Os Ches. But let's start Os Ches because it's beautiful. I'll tell you just a quick story. From Chaim Volozhner, since we're talking about, you know, when I get into trouble, I'll just come to a din Torah. So I'll tell you about a din Torah that once took place. Rav Chaim Volozhner, the student of the Vilna Gaon, was once approached by two men who had a machlokas. They were fighting over a piece of land. This one said, it's my land. This one said, it's my land. They were fighting over land. They had contracts. It was unclear exactly what had happened, who it belonged to. They had a partnership. They divided up some land. Who does this piece of land belong to? A big machlokas. They come to Rav Chaim Volozhner. So he's sitting there and he's listening to them, each presenting their side. This one claims it's his. Zeomer Kula Shali, Zeomer Kula Shali. So Chaim Volozhner says, well, do you have any witnesses? He says, you know what, let's ask the land. Let's ask the earth itself. So Chaim Volozhner gets down on the ground and he puts his ear to the ground to see if the ground has anything to say. Both of you got to testify. Let's see what the ground has to say. So he puts his ear down to the ground and he comes up and he starts chuckling. So he said, oh, what are the... You know, I don't know, there's a tzaddikim who can like talk to birds and plants and like, I don't know, maybe the ground said something. They said, what did the ground say? So Chaim Volozhner said, he said, I'm sorry. He said, I'm sorry for laughing. I couldn't help myself from laughing. He said, you, Reuven, claim that it belongs to you, the land belongs to you. And you, Shimon, claim that the land belongs to you. But the ground says about both of you, you're both going to belong to me. The end of your life, you're both going to belong to me. I own both of you. Neither of you own me. I own you. Needless to say, it was a humbling moment for those two. First, let's remind ourselves. Adam Yisodo me'afar v'sofa la'afar. Well, where's the room for gaiva? It becomes like so obvious when you actually think about it. It's so absurd for a person to think he's a something. Now again, there's a healthy way. We have to learn the safer and healthy way. Right? We can't walk out of here feeling like losers, because yes, there is a mitzvah of Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. And yes, there are countless Mamori Chazal and teachings from Tzaddikim that build us up to talk about how gevaldik we are, how amazing we are, and how much Hashem wants us to feel that we're chashuv, because we are chashuv. But you're only as chashuv as you know that you're not so chashuv. If you think you're chashuv, then you're not so chashuv. If you have humility and you surrender to Hashem, and then you could say, that's my tati, I'm a ben melech, okay. But the second you start your own kingdom, your own malchus, you're in big trouble. Okay, let's go a little bit weiter. Uve emes rabim osches. Uve emes rabim b'nei aminu hamedumim b'einem v'einei ha'olam chacham gedolim b'torah b'nigla v'nistar. Now listen to this. And again, we don't want to, God forbid, speak badly about Jews and people who are sometimes considered to be talmidei chachamim. But the osher divrei emes is emistic. And he says, not everyone you meet who knows a lot of Torah Not everyone you meet who knows a lot of Torah is learning Torah for the right reasons. A lot of people are learning Torah for the wrong reasons. He says there are many people who in their own eyes and in the eyes of others are big talmidei chachamim. They're experts in Torah, in nigla, in nistar. They might be able to quote you kisvei arizal forwards and backwards. Umedumim biyira, and they have the appearance of one who are mamish God-fearing people. You should see how they shakal. I mentioned the other day in the Sichas Haran Shir. I had the ruptures here one time. He saw someone who was shakaling. He looked mamish. He looked like he was the firmest guy you ever saw, you know? And when he was davening, when he was saying vido, he was clapping, Hashamnu, Bagadnu. The Rapshitzer was an Ishamas. He also had a good sense of humor, a good personality. So the Rapshitzer went over to him and he said to this fellow after davening, he said, "You don't need to knock so hard. I'm telling you right now, there's nobody home. You don't need to knock so hard on the door, there's nobody home." He said, "You're cool chitzonis, what is that?" So yeah, Meduma, it appears like wow, mamish Yerush Shemayim. That's not Yerush Shemayim. That's the Shema, or it's because you want someone to look at you and say, "Oh wow, look at that guy. Oh wow. It seems like a person I should want to, you know, give cover to. He's a very firm person." B'chol advarim, all these things, v'sovim shabo l'ktsas Torah v'yira. People think they have a little bit of Torah in Yira. Aval be'emes adayin lo zachu afilu yediyah katana mitoras elokeinu. Let's be honest. We don't know. The Torah is so endless, no matter how much you know, you don't even know the beginning of it. You don't know nothing about Torah. She nikkers Torah al shem shemora hanelam shu Hashem yisbarach. You know what Torah means? It teaches us about God. And Hashem is infinite. So you could be the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world and you still know nothing. Because everything you know compared to infinity is nothing. It's mamish a drop. It's nothing. Kamosha Amar, as I heard from one of my Rebbeim. Now here, we get a quote from his Rebbe. This is a beautiful Torah. Listen to this. Powerful idea. And I can tell you, by the way, that the Baal Shem Tov said the exact same part. So this idea that he brings here from Rav Nachum Mendel of Premishlan, who he said was one of his three Rebbeim, if you look in the Baal Shem Tov Ala Torah in Parshas Ve'eschanan, in Os Chav Tes, it brings the same exact dvar from the Baal Shem Tov. In a different way, my brother likes to quote from the Elchanan Wasserman, who said the Talmud of the Chavetz Chaim, said the same thing in his own way. And what's the dvar? Pasuk says, David HaMelech says, Toras Hashem Tumima. What does it mean, Toras Hashem Tumima? So the Pashup Shad is the Torah of Hashem is Tumim, it's complete. It's the all-encompassing system of living. It has everything that you could possibly want. Torah is Hashem Tumima. But the way that these tzaddikim explain, the Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Nachum Mendel from Ishlan, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Hashem should avenge his blood, that al kiddush Hashem, the Talmud of the Muvak of the Chavetz Chaim. Ratzal Lomar, al derech tzachos, you could say in the following way. Torah Hashem daika hi Tumima. Okay, let me tell you how other tzaddikim say it. Here's Rav Chanan Wasserman said it like this: no matter how much Torah you learn, if you add up all the Torah that was ever learned in history, the Torah is still tamima, which means what? That the Torah is still untouched. Right? Because compared to what the Torah actually is, you could add up all the tshuvas Rabbi Kiva Eger Chassam Sofer Shagas Aryeh. You could put it all together. You could take the whole base medrash, every sefer on the shelf, every sefer in the library, every bit of Torah knowledge in the entire world. And it's still what? You still haven't even scratched the surface. The Torah is still complete, meaning what? It's still untouched. The Torah is so endlessly deep. That's a very important way to learn it. Rav Nachum Mendel Premishlan, in his own way, said, no, let's learn it a little bit differently. It's not just that the Torah is so big that no matter how much you learn it, you still haven't even scratched the surface. But he said, somewhat jokingly, but somewhat very seriously, maybe very, very seriously, Shetoras Hashem Daika Hi Tamima. The Torah of Hashem is untouched. It's complete. Complete in the sense that no one's taken from it yet. What does that mean, Torah Hashem? Shadayin lo naga shum adam afilu b'katzeyu. Why do people learn Torah? It has nothing to do with Hashem. The Torah of Hashem is still tmima. You hear? It's a very sad part, actually. He said it as like, you know, poking fun, but it's a tragic part. Because how many people are sitting learning Torah for their own name, and not the Shema, for his name, for Hashem's name. So how many people are studying Torah Hashem because they want to be close to Hashem? How many people think about that when they sit down to learn? Torah Hashem, Daika, Tmima. Shadayin lo naga shumad v'afidu b'katzeyu, kihem lo m'dim rach chitzoni es ha-Torah. Everyone wants the outer shell of the Torah. That they don't desire to cling to Hashem and to make themselves into what? Into a footstool for Hashem, into a chariot for Hashem. That you become the horse that Hashem rides around on. You want to be the rider. You want to ride on the Torah. Let the Torah drive me around. If Ara LeBelzer was once getting into a taxi. And as he ducked down to get into the taxi, I don't know if he said to a chassid, one of his gabbai, I don't know who he said it to. For Rav Ara LeBelzer said, he said to the chassid, you see? See what? He said, you saw how he ducked to get into the vehicle? He said, yeah. He said, you see, you have to lower yourself if you want to get anywhere. If you want to get anywhere in life, you got to duck your head. I say the same thing. Why is a mikvah matayr? Because you go into a mikvah, you have to duck your head. Whenever a Jew lowers his head, he gets somewhere in life. He gets closer to Kedusha. He travels. You want to travel, so you have to lower your head. You have to be able to lower your head. So if you're trying to ride around on the Torah, so it should give you a place to ride around the world. Nothing to do with Torah. It's chitzonius haTorah. It's not to become a chariot for the divine. It's not about Yiras Hashem. It's not about Avas Hashem. It's not about Bittul to Hashem. It's not about Anava. Kamosha Amar HaAriza, as the Ariya explains, V'huva B'sefer Katan Shari Tzion. Kiyam einam yodim klal mazed dveikus ba'Hashem yizbarach u'mazed ava v'yira. Kiyam sovim shezeh ba'atzmo halimud shalomdim hu advekus v'hi ava v'yira. V'aich efshar zeh. The Arizal already said, listen to this. People think, they make the mistake. Now again, there were great tzaddikim who said like this. But Chassidus is arguing and says, no. Just sitting with a Bava Kama is not automatic dveikus in Hashem. Bava Kama could be poison and it could be the most gaivadic experience. Just to be in a higher level shir. So you can say you're in a higher level shir, so you can get a good shidduch, so you can get ahead, so you can get... Mamish kulo gaiva, kulo kavod. Nothing to Torah is Hashem. To me, God's Torah is untouched. It has nothing to do with God. Kulo chitzonius. So he says here, people think that sometimes that the limud shalom, they're just learning itself, that itself is dveikus in Hashem. And he says it's not true. There are people who are what? Who learn Torah, and then they get involved, they get busted with these people of mamish, they gave shiurim, and they taught Torah barabim, and they were big machanchim, and they get busted for sex scandals. How is that possible? How does such a thing happen? How do you get busted for niyuf, for arayos? Because their Torah is kulo kavod, kulo gaiva. And Gaiva and Taiva are mamish best friends. They're neighbors. Maybe you could say like, Chazal say, Ein apotropis la'arayas. What does it mean, Ein apotropis la'arayas? It means when it comes to Inyan Arayas, there's no one who, that, you know, not me, would never happen to me. Ein apotropis la'arayas. There's no one who can be the caretaker. There's no one who can be the guarantor for Arayas. Oh yeah, no, how could that happen? That would never happen to me. No one knows for sure if they could beat Eishes Potiphar. I told you once, a mice with the Divrei Chaim. Divrei Chaim once asked a group of Hasidim, what would you do if you found a wallet on the floor with money in it? So the first Hasid wanted to impress the Rebbe, so he said, I found a wallet, money on it, I'd immediately return it. So he says, you're tippish. He asked another Hasid, what would you do? So he figures, okay, maybe the Rebbe wants us to be more honest. So he says, Rebbe, honestly, I'd keep it. Keep it, you're Rasha. So here's the third chassid. What would you do if you found a wallet on the floor? A lot of money in it. Mamash would be helpful to have all that money. So he says, Rebbe, I don't know what I would do. It's very hard to know what I would do until I'm in that situation. So Divrei Chaim said, that's the emistic answer. You don't know what you would do. Oh yeah, Eishes Potiphar, I'd also run out of the room like Yosef at Tzaddik. Really? Yeah, I'm a firm guy. I can control myself. Ein apotropis la'arayas. Maybe you can learn it like this though. Ein apotropis la'arayas. You hear? Ein ayin bittul is apotropis la'arayas. Because gaiva leads to arayas. But when a person's ayin, when a person's ein, when a person makes himself nothing, right, that is apotropis la'arayas. That will protect you from arayas. So he says, what do you mean? The people who sit and learn and learn and learn and then they get involved in disgusting things, Rahmana Litzlan. Ubali Averis Yiduim, it's well known who some of these people are. And they mamish gave gavad, they wrote tzvarim. I have a sefer in my office. I don't mean to scare anyone. I have a sefer in my office about Yisodos in Amunah to strengthen a person in the Amunah. Actually, I have two svarim. No, actually, I have three svarim. I have three svarim in my desk drawer. And I know people who had these svarim, and when certain stories came out, they literally took the sefer and threw it in the garbage. Beautiful svarim. If you didn't know the story behind the person who wrote the sefer, you'd think, Gevaldik Torah. One's an English book, Mamish, all about proofs of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The guy was busted for child pornography. He wrote a book on being mechazik people in Amuna, to answer questions in Amuna. Another person wrote a deep sefer in Chassidus, busted with women, all sorts of things. So there's no guarantee just because you have what to say in Torah that you're not a pervert. The people, Bali Niuf, Bali Averis Yiduim, Va'af Me Umos, Yesh Shalomdim Torah Shalanu. But there aren't non-Jews who learn Torah. We're involved in all sorts. They learn it for the intellectual stimulation. So that you don't think there's people in the base medrash to do that also. Heichi tachin shezei yehadveikus b'Hashem. So how could you say that what? That learning automatically makes dveikus b'Hashem? What about all those people who learn Torah and they do averos? So Torah is obviously not automatic. The fact that you sit with a Jewish book doesn't automatically make you davuk to Hashem. Torah lishma requires a submissiveness to the Torah, surrender to the Torah. I want to just end with a line from a sefer called Rachamei Av. We'll pick up the middle of those chas next time, which is very quickly, and then we'll stop. The sefer Rachamei Av of Yaakov Katina. He was a Rav in Chus, which is in Czechoslovakia. He writes in his small little sefer, under his entry, Dveikus. And it's so important. I say this all the time to people who claim, oh, what do you mean? Learning is automatically Dveikus. Yosher Divrei Emes said, maybe once upon a time, not Bezman Hazeh. No such thing. That you should cling to Hashem and never let go of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he says, look what he says here. And if someone will come along and claim that just learning automatically is dveikus. Rav Yaakov Katina said, you can't say that. Maybe once upon a time you could say that. Maybe when Rishon Bar Yochai sat and learned, it was automatic dveikus. For us, you could get so lost in the sugya, it has literally nothing to do with Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kizeh nemar dafka b'doros harishonim, kigon rashbi v'chaveirav. In the olden days, when Rishon Bar Yochai would talk about any sugya, he was automatically tied into a Kadosh Baruch Hu. However, b'zman hazeh, if a Jew is not going to cling to Hashem, v'atem adveikim v'Hashem lokechem chayim kucham yom. If you don't make a conscious effort that your Torah should bring you to humility and dveikus v'Hashem, then there's no guarantees. You could be Bali Niuf, you could be Obed Avodah Zarah. The Torah could be poison for a person. So Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the strength to be humble Jews, to be Jews who know our place, to understand there's an anava that precedes the Torah, a submissiveness that brings us the Torah, and a submissiveness that comes from learning Torah. We have to always check ourselves in both directions to make sure that I'm properly humbled before I sit down. Don't sit down like a Baal Gaiva to learn. And when you walk away from learning, all the more so, I should feel, wow, I made contact with Rava and Abaya and Ravina and Ravashi and Rishon Bar Yochai, and I made contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Torah. And that should leave a person feeling humbled. And that humility, again, is not supposed to break us, but it's supposed to attach us to something much bigger than ourselves. Okay? All right, we'll stop here for tonight. Shaykh.